Welcome to worship, everyone. Because you have arrived on time, I am going to give you a little bit of St. Patrick's Day advice. Are you ready for this? May you be in heaven a full half hour before the devil knows you're dead. Aren't you glad you came on time? All right, today, in all seriousness, I will be talking about kayaks and canoes and lakes and rapids and our faith, whether it's active or passive or both. And we're even going to throw in some placemats. Now, if that doesn't excite you enough to want to stick around and listen to the message and the children's message, there's just no hope for you. That's all we've got to offer, except for all the great music. Please rise. Let's sing.
Make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, throughout these 40 days, inspire repentance for our sin. You may be seated for our first reading.
The first reading is Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 23. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the working of the great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Acts 16, 6 through 10, and 13 through 15.
And he went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and the vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And on the Sabbath day, he went outside the gates to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household was well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, let's have some children come up, shall we? All the children that want to hear a message for them. Come on. Good morning. Whoops. You okay? Yeah. You just fell. Yeah. You jumped. Okay. I don't jump anymore, which is a good thing. So, let's say someone is coming to visit my house. One of the things we do, if they're coming to visit my house, they're probably going to eat with us, right? So we get out placemats and put them on the fancy table where we never eat, except when people come over. Do you have a table like that? What? Yeah? Do you? No? What do you do when people come over to your house? Do you get placemats out or do you do something else? You just got a table, no placemats? Last night I asked, what do you do when people come over to your house to visit? And you know what they told me? The one boy said, we get out the bunk beds. That was pretty fancy, I thought. Because we just get out placemats at my house. So in our story today, there's a lady named Lydia. Do you know anybody named Lydia? Do you? I think it's a beautiful name, isn't it? Yeah, beautiful name. And Lydia she has a house, and there's a man named Paul and Silas. Do you know anybody named Paul or Silas? Nope. So Lydia invites Paul and Silas to come over to her house. And it doesn't say whether she got the placemats out or not, but she welcomed them in. And then Paul and Silas told Lydia about Jesus. And Lydia liked what she heard so much about Jesus, she got baptized right then. And then Paul and Silas baptized her whole family, like her husband and her children. Everybody got baptized. And then she said, "Paul, Silas, you're visiting here in my town." The name of the town was called Philippi. That's a funny name, isn't it? Philippi. And she said, "You can stay here in my house just as long as you need. And you can come and go just as long as you need to." Now, what do you think about Lydia? Why did she do all of those nice things? Why do you think? What happened to her when Paul and Silas came to her house? What happened? They told her all about God, yeah. And then she got baptized. So she believes in God. And when we believe in God, we do special things. You do very good things. What do you do because you believe in God? What do you think? What do you do? You go to church. Okay. What else? You pray. Yeah. How do you... Do you ever forgive any... What do you do? You do Bible verses. I like that. Yeah. What do you think if I asked all the other people out there, what do they do because they believe in God? What do you think they would tell me? Hard question. What's one thing that all those people do? What do you think?
Study the Bible.
They study the Bible? You think everybody out there studies the Bible?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. What else? What else do they do? Any ideas? What did Lydia do because she believed in Jesus? She got baptized, and what else? What did she do for those strangers? What was their name? Paul and what was that other guy's name? Silas, yeah. What did she do for them? She was very kind to them, wasn't she? Yeah. You think of anything that all those people out there might do because they believe in Jesus? You know what? What do you think? You think they tell others about Jesus? I'll bet they do. Yeah. And they pray, like you said, and they read the Bible, and they come to church, and they are very quick to forgive somebody that hurts them, and they try not to say something bad to other people. All of those things, right? Yeah. Do you think they get placemats out when they have company? What do you think? No. I'm the only one that gets placemats out, right? Okay. And what did I tell you the kids did last night when they get company? They get out the bunk beds. Yeah. Maybe I got to get bunk beds. I don't know. I'll talk to my wife. Can you fold your hands and close your eyes and say right after me, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I love you, Jesus. And I want to do things with you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
We rise for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen.
That is beautiful. Ah, just gorgeous. Now, why would people get out bunk beds if they were going to have company over? I didn't quite understand that yet, but it's okay. It's been a number of years, but it also seems like just a day or two when my family went on vacation to Canada one year, and we had this full-size van, loaded it, put lots of stuff on the top of it, and we're pulling a pop-up camper behind it. And then before we got into Canada, we stopped and rented a couple of canoes and put those on the back of the pop-up camper. So we were really loaded. And we went up to Quetico, if you know where that is, on the northern section of the Boundary Waters, just over the border in Canada. And it's one of those places where they don't allow any motors on boats. It's all, you know, it's just kept as nice and pretty and unspoiled as possible. And we set up the camper, or tried to at least. There's a crank that you got to use on the inside, and somebody's clothes got stuck in the camper, the crank, and that just messed up everything. But that's another sermon. We got the two canoes and took them down to the water. And it's just beautiful there. The lake, there's no cabins on it. It's unbelievable. If you haven't experienced it, you're really missing something. And my wife and daughter and eldest son get in the one canoe, and the other son and I get in the other canoe, and we put out into the lake. And three of them are going along, enjoying it, paddling. It's gorgeous. My son and I are in the other canoe. We're starting to go. And wouldn't you know it, it's filling up with water. That it's leaking where the seam is there. You know, you can't even use a pine cone or leaves or anything to plug the hole because it's just leaking where the seam is. And every few hundred yards, you have to stop on an island or go to the shore or do something to lift it up and empty it out. It's not like you can call 1-800 come and get us canoe repair or something. You know, you're out in the wilderness, so you're stuck with it. It's just the way it is. It made me wish at that moment that we had a kayak, you know, and we were going down the Colorado River. But then we would have gotten wet anyway. If you're on the Colorado River in a kayak, you're at the mercy of the wind and the waves. It's just throwing you whichever way you can. And in the canoe with the leak, you're just pretty much at the mercy of the lake that's filling it. You know, you can't control what's happening to you too much. In our reading today, St. Paul thought he was in control of things, but he really wasn't. He wanted to go to the Roman province of Asia. It was called Phrygia. And the Spirit somehow indicated to him, Paul, you're not going there. It's not happening. So then he thought he would go to another place called Bithynia. And somehow God's Spirit told Paul, nope, you're not going to go there either. It's not happening. He ends up in a town called Philippi. And Paul is with his friend Silas, and they're on a missionary journey. And whenever he'd get into a new town, a new location, the first thing he would do is go to the synagogue. Makes perfect sense. It's where they're reading the Old Testament scriptures. Paul would start a conversation with all the learned people there, and then he'd tell them about Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the fulfillment. And, well, you couldn't do that in Philippi because they didn't have a synagogue. It's like everything that he planned to do was different. So they're walking into Philippi, and they're going along the river outside of the gate, and they come across a group of women who are praying. So it's a little unusual for him, but he talks to them about Jesus. And one of them actually converts, wants to be baptized. Her name is Lydia. It's a marvelous thing. Listen to the scripture. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One heard us, a woman named Lydia. She was a seller of purple goods. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what we were saying. So here are Paul and Silas, the big-time evangelists, on the way to Philippi, and they get one convert that's willing to listen to them, just one. Not anybody else, but eventually she would have her whole family baptized into Christ. But Lydia was just the one person that seemed to respond to that first effort. Paul talks to us about faith. This is faith. He says to the Ephesians, that's by grace you have been saved through faith. And even this faith isn't from you. It's a gift from God so that no one can boast. So Lydia gets the gift of faith and she believes. And faith is something you can't work for. It just comes to you as a gift, Paul is saying. You see, God is in control of your journey in faith. God's in control. You are not in control of your life. You are not in control of your spiritual journey. You're not in control of your own salvation. God is. It's like Lydia and Paul. You get caught up and you're swept away in the baptismal waters. God is in control. You're riding the back of a mighty current. It's the river of God's grace. It's taking you to where God wants you to be. So, what are you doing with your faith? You have this gift from God. It's faith. You believe. What are you doing with it? Is it pretty passive? Not a whole lot of active engagement? Like I said, there were no motors allowed on the backs of canoes or even rowboats, if you could get one into those lakes up there in Canada. It's just all your power. You have to paddle if you want to get anywhere. Think of a passive faith like being on that lake, maybe in an inner tube, where you're just floating along, getting a real good sunburn. And you're not controlling it much at all. It's just floating along, not a care in the world. It sounds so nice. But faith like that, it's a shipwreck. Because it's just not going anywhere. It's faith that leads to no good. Nothing is happening with it. It's just going to die right there. It's just floating along and it's not being used at all. On the other hand, if you're actively engaged with your faith, well, that's a whole other story. Because after Paul baptizes Lydia with Silas, a few days later, let me read to you what happens. It says in the scriptures that Paul and Silas went to a place of prayer, and a slave girl ran into us. She was a psychic. She was into fortune telling. She made a lot of money for the people who owned her, She started following us around. That would be Paul and Silas. And she's calling everybody's attention to us. She's saying, these men are working for the Most High God. They're laying out the road of salvation for you. She's like trying to pretend she's a psychic, but she knew what they were going to be doing. So the people that didn't know the gimmick that she had, she's telling them what Paul and Silas are going to do. And, well, they do it. They do talk about the Most High God. So they think she's a psychic and they give her money. You know, it's like betting that the Cubs are going to win. It's a sure thing. And Paul just about loses it. This goes on for a number of days. Finally fed up with her, Paul turns and commands the spirit that possessed her. Out! In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her. And the spirit was gone just like that. Now, remember her owners? She's a slave girl. They saw the lucrative little business suddenly go bankrupt. So they go after Paul and Silas. They rough them up. They drag them into the market square. Then the police arrested them. They pull them into court with the accusation, these men are disturbing the peace. They're dangerous Jewish agitators subverting our Roman law and order. By this time, the crowd had turned into a restless mob out for blood. And the judges go along with the mob, and they had Paul and Silas' clothes ripped off and ordered a public beating. They were beaten black and blue. They were thrown in jail. The jailkeeper was told to put him under heavy guard, no chance of escape. He threw him into the maximum security cell and clamped the leg irons on them. What did they do? What did they do? They were talking about God. They were actively practicing their faith. Sometimes when we practice our faith, when we are active in our faith, things go wrong. Not everybody likes it. Now, Lydia, on the other hand, when she receives God's word, what happened to her? She got baptized. Then her whole household gets baptized. And she says to Paul and Silas, and now there's Timothy and Luke together with him. She says, you can stay here in my house as long as you want. You can use this as your base of operations while you're doing mission work, outreach work here in Philippi. It's beautiful. This is active, engaged faith. It's making a difference. She's just not coasting, floating on a little inner tube, or sitting in a canoe with faith and not going anywhere, just at the mercy of everything else around her. No, she's taking an active part. Luther put it this way. He says, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. I can't do it on my own. Lydia could not come to Jesus on her own. Luther says, this is what Jesus does. I may be his own. I want to live under him in his kingdom. I want to serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Luther imagines the whole Christian life to be one of active engagement, participation. It is serving. We have this free gift that comes to us through grace. We believe. Now, we don't lazily float around. We're actively engaged. Paul says it this way. Remember, it's by grace you have been saved through faith. For we are God's workmanship, he says in the next verse. We are created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works, to be actively engaged. Which, Paul says, by the way, God prepared beforehand so you can walk in them. See, God is in control when you're actively engaged. When you realize he's given you this faith, you didn't earn it, he just gave it to you because he loves you so much. And what are you going to do with it? Well, you can take your canoe and put it out in the parking lot and start paddling all day long, but you're not going to get anywhere. Or you can take that canoe that we rented up there in Canada and put it out there in the water and watch it fill up with water, and your faith just sinks. See, that's being real passive with your faith. You can just paddle your faith to death. You can shipwreck your faith. Or you can be passive and active with your faith. God gives you that faith. And what are you going to do with it? Well, the children said, well, you can study the scriptures. And then you act on what the scriptures teach you. You can pray for people. And you actively, you don't just say to someone who's in crisis, I'll pray for you, and you forget about it, but you actually do. Maybe you stop right then and there, and you grab that person's hand, or put your arm on their shoulder, and you stop and you pray. That's active faith. Maybe it's just helping someone that needs it without expecting anything in return. Maybe it's forgiving that person that's hurt you and expecting nothing in return, but you just forgive them, and if there's any consequence to their action, it is up to God, not you. Act of faith is inviting the person in your own home whose faith doesn't look to be much more than the kind of faith that sits on an inner tube and floats down the river. And you reach out to that person with all the love and care that you can, because you're praying that God will, with His grace, give them that strong faith that you long for them to have. You want to be a whitewater kayaker. You want to be in that kayak completely carried by the surge of the whitewater all around you. Your faith is so active that you're completely engaged in the process. That faith is not simply an hour a week if there's nothing else going on. But you are so engaged in the faith process that on that kayak in the Colorado River, you are paddling furiously. You are wet head to toe. You are having the time of your life. The story of Lydia and Paul makes it perfectly clear that we're on a great adventure, that we're in this white water on a rapid rate, moving along God's river of grace. And it's fun. It's scary. It's God taking us along to right where He wants us to be. God's in control. You are actively engaged. It's quite a ride. In His name, amen. We're going to listen to some more music and sing a bit.
So this is a new song that we're singing today, so I'm happy to have Rachel and Cassidy singing along with me. My name is Jenny. We're glad you're here to worship today with us. The band doesn't know this, but hey, band, can we just go through the chorus so you can hear it? If you don't know this song, feel free to sing along with us on the chorus. That's fine. Could you play? All right. We're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray. Let's get washed by the water, washed by the water,
Let us go before our Lord in prayer. O Lord, like Lydia, we are called to welcome those who share the news of your salvation into our midst. Give us the courage to support the needs of those who preach and teach your word, even when it's not always something that the society around us values. Grant us the willingness to open our doors to your AIM ambassadors and to listen well to what they have to share with us. O Lord, who gave us your life, help us return your love with love. Lydia met with women of her community to meditate and study your word. Help us to gather together as often as we can in Bible classes, worship services, and in small groups to learn more about you and strengthen one another in our lives of faith. O Lord, who gave you your life, help us return your love with love. Lydia was a successful businesswoman, as well as a believer in Christ. Embolden us to bear your cross into our places of business and work life so that more may know that you are the supreme ruler of our lives, and that it is more important to store up treasures in heaven than to look for earthly wealth and prestige. Help us to be loving and forgiving to all we interact with in our jobs, reflecting your compassion toward us. O Lord, who gave your life, help us return your love with love. All those in Lydia's household came to believe in you and were baptized. Help us to be positive spiritual influence on the faith lives of all those who dwell in our households and our neighborhoods. May our words and actions declare to the nearest and dearest to us that you are the ultimate source and strength of everything we say and do. O Lord, who gave your life, help us to return your love with love. Be with all those who are suffering in any way of body, mind, and spirit, especially Dan, Vernette, Katie, Laverne, Linda, Gwen, Vern, Wally, Blanche, Bob, Rosie, and Marcia. Restore health to them according to your will, and bless them with people like Lydia, who respond to your love by caring for them in their time of need. Help us to see ways in which we can serve those around us who are hurting. Especially do we remember Barb and Bruce Conrad, who mourn the death of Barb's father, Ralph, and Phyllis and Gary Murphy on the death of their son, Nick. Enable us that we may be able to touch them with your peace, comfort, and hope. O Lord, who gave your life, help us return your love with love. Dear Jesus, support the work of missionaries around the world and expand their reach so that more and more people may come to know you as their Savior through your sacrificial death on the cross and your triumphant resurrection from the dead. May we never forget the importance of those who serve you in often hostile environments and in distant places. May their work continue to be fruitful and make a difference in the lives of many. O Lord, who gave your life, help us return your love with love. Father in heaven, we come to you today, thanking you for all who celebrate in the coming week. We are glad that you have brought us together and allowed us to know each one. We ask for your blessing in a day filled with hope, joy, and optimism. We pray that this coming year might be one that will bring personal success and fulfillment and accomplishment for all. We pray for Carrie, Jean, John, Linda, Sandy, Benjamin, David, Michael, Dan, Robert, Michelle, and Katie. Father, we know that you delight in blessing your children. O Lord, who gave your life, help us return your love with love. All these petitions we offer in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who did the will of God and lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship by gathering our offerings for the mission and ministry of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School.
Wonderful.
Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Be with us through this season, Lord, and all our earthly days, that when the final Easter dawns, we join in heaven's praise. Amen. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord look, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord will look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Have a great week, everyone. Thanks to Rachel and Cassidy for singing. All right.